One of my favorite places in the world is the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., which I believe is closed right now due to the government shutdown. But if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about, a huge collection of art, not just from the U.S., but from around the world, masters like Rembrandt and Monet and Van Gogh. There's a modern art side and then a more traditional art gallery, and it's an amazing place filled with beautiful things. I'm certainly no expert on art history. I have precious little artistic ability. Nothing I ever do will ever be hung in an art gallery. But I do love to see what others can create, whether it's with paint or sculpture or photography. Artists can convey beauty. They can create things that touch deep inside of us. They can even create things that speak a truth, even a spiritual truth that sometimes we can't really put into words. A great work of art allows an artist to say something that is beyond what words can convey. They can communicate that truth that speaks down into our very souls. Beholding the beauty of creation, that is, of course, God's handiwork, God's artistic expression. Or looking at an artistic masterpiece created by a human, stirs something deep inside of us. It moves our souls, and in that sense, it gives evidence, I believe, that there is something in us that is not just flesh and blood, that is not just body and mind. It proves that there is something deep inside of humans that God created with a spiritual spark, a spiritual nature inside of us. Do you know that you have a soul? That there's something inside of you that can be touched in a way that goes beyond just physically who we are, or mentally or emotionally who we are, but that God can touch something deep inside of us. And that we can feel that movement inside of our hearts and know that God created us with a soul. It's that spark of life that connects us with God. And in some mysterious ways, our soul makes us like God. If that's true, and of course the Bible insists that it is true, then we would be wise to learn a little bit about our souls. If we're walking around with something inside of us that allows us to know and love and understand who God is, then especially us, we would want to know what that soul is like. Maybe even learn how to exercise and use our souls so that we can know and love God better. The opening chapters of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, of course, tells the story of God's creation of everything, the creation of the world, creation of men and women. And included in that story is the story of God speaking forth human life and giving us this spiritual spark inside of us that makes us different than all the rest of creation. One of the central truths of the creation story is that God created everything. From the vastness of our universe and the stars and the planets and the galaxies to the minute, microscopic, subatomic particles of this world. God created all of this for one reason. And that is to give us a place to live. To give people, men and women, a place to live. Because we are, the Bible tells us, the pinnacle of creation. We are the purpose. This is why God created all of this world, so that we could have a place to live where we could know and love God. So the creation story tells us about God creating. It also tells us about God creating men and women. And it tells us that when God created us, He did something extraordinary. That there is something inside of us that makes us different from all the rest of this world that God created. So we're going to read a couple of passages in Genesis, first in chapter 1, and then into chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 in chapter 1, and then we'll jump into chapter 2 at verse 4. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And then in chapter 2, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heaven, made the earth and the heavens. "Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." We learn two amazing things from these two passages right at the beginning of the Bible. The first is that we are created in God's image. And we'll talk about that a bit as we go along. The second is that God breathe life into us. If you want to know what it means to have a soul, then you need to start with this story. You need to start with the creation story. In fact, if you want to know what it means to be human, you need to start with this story. To see how we are set apart from all the rest of creation, how God put something unique inside of us, something special that makes us different from the earth and the water and the sky, that makes us different from the plants and the animals and the fish. And what sets us apart is that God created us with a spiritual nature. He made us like Him. He created us in His image, not just with a body that can move and think, but God gave us the ability to know Him. And it is our souls, that set us apart and that make us special. Now, I know we're starting to tread into some kind of deep water here, but don't get lost in the theology. We're not going to go that deep into the Old Testament language. If you were in the adult Bible or Sunday school class earlier today, we talked about how Moses wrote this story and what he wrote it on and how it was preserved. We're not going to get into all of that, but bear with me here because I think this is important. First, to understand who we are as people and how God created us and why God created us the way we are, but also so that we can understand who God is and how He wants to have a relationship with us that is different than His relationship with animals or birds or trees or anything else in creation. Because I think as we understand our souls, it will change the way we see God, it will change the way we pray, it will change the way we worship and the way we read Scripture, and I think it even changes the way we see ourselves. And it changes the way we understand our relationship with God. So I want us to see two amazing truths this morning. And then as we talk about those, to then discover a very simple but I think profound spiritual discipline that can help us exercise our souls. And that's sort of a teaser to stick around for the end of the sermon. So hopefully you'll be ready for that. But the first truth is this, that God created us in His image so that we could have an eternal relationship with Him. And that relationship is the purpose of your soul. And there's a lot in that statement. When God said, "Let us make mankind in our image," it does not mean that God made us to look like Him. If If you are thinking that we look like God, you're going to be, well, you won't be disappointed when you get to heaven, because there won't be anything disappointing there, but you'll realize how wrong you are. We don't look like God, and that's not at all what this word is meant to tell us. We don't share with God a physical appearance. God, in fact, is not bound by physical form. He's not bound inside a body. Jesus lived on this earth for 30-some years because he was able to, during that time, set aside the glory of his divine nature and sort of squeeze himself, humble himself into the form of a man. But that doesn't mean that we look like God. That's not what the image of God is meant to tell us. It also does not mean that we are intelligent like God. I know some people think that way, that the image of God must mean that we can think like God. And as you continue to read the Genesis story, you remember Adam and Eve were told, don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet they did. That was their sin. And they gained sort of an ability to think in a new way by eating that fruit, which was also a great burden that fell on us. But that's not what God means by the image of God. It's not that we're smart. Humans might be smarter than animals. It's sometimes debatable. But the image of God is far more important than just that we have this ability to think rationally. What it means when it says that God created us in His image is that He created us in such a way that we could have a relationship with Him. That He put something inside of us that allows us to know who God is and to love Him and to receive His love and to hear His voice and to understand that there is something in us that can know and walk with and be in relationship with God. In fact, the rest of the Bible tells that story of our relationship with God. It tells the story of how men and women came to know who God is and how God revealed Himself not to the animals, not to the rest of creation, but to people and gave us His Word and allowed us to enter into a relationship in this life, but also a relationship that will last for all eternity. Now that relationship has been broken, has been marred by sin. And we know that story is coming as we read through Genesis. But then God pursues us and He draws us back to Himself. And ultimately He sent Jesus to forgive our sins and to begin restoring that broken relationship again so that we could be with God forever. You see, humans are unique in all creation because we can know God. And your soul is the place where that relationship happens. You can think about God. You can read the Bible and understand some things about God. But if you want to have a relationship, if you want to love God, if you want to hear what He's saying to you as an individual, what God is personally speaking into your life, that is a transaction that happens inside of your soul. And so we need to understand what our soul is so that we can open up that relationship. Your brain can think, which is a wonderful gift from God. Your heart pumps blood through your body that keeps you alive, but it's the soul's job to love and seek after God. We heard earlier from Psalm 42, which was a psalm written, we don't know if it was written by David or someone else, it's not attributed to David. But it's written, if you listen to the words, during a very low point in someone's life when they were dealing with what today we probably would call depression. And let me read a couple of those verses again. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? And then down in verse 7, deep calls to deep in the roar of Your waterfalls. And it's this understanding of something deep inside of us. Even when life is not good, even when you don't feel your best, even when you might be suffering from the difficult things that we often suffer from, there's still that part of us deep inside that calls out to God, that thirsts and longs for God, and that is your soul. That feeling that you have, even during the sorrowful, difficult moments of life, that feeling that you have deep inside that God is still good and still with you, that's your soul that still understands and longs after God. God created you to know Him and to love Him. He gave you that capacity that nothing else in creation has, so that we could hear His voice and feel His love. The second amazing truth about how God created us is that God breathed life into us. And that divine spark of life shines within your soul. God breathed life, not just into Adam, but that spark has been passed down through all the generations of humanity. It says that when God formed Adam, he made his body from the dust of the ground. And you can kind of imagine how God did that. All the rest of creation, God spoke into being. But with Adam, God with His own hands shaped the dust and formed the body. And the human form was created by God. It's beautiful. It is a work of art. It is a sculpture in that sense, formed by God's own hands. The human body is amazingly complex. It is, in its own way, evidence of the power and design and creativity of God. But your body, your physical body, is not the most amazing thing about who you are. Animals have bodies too. They have pretty amazing bodies. Gazelles can run 60 miles an hour. Next time you're on the highway, watch for the gazelles. They might be passing you. Elephants can carry 10 tons. It's an amazing thing. Whales, there's a certain species of whale, I forgot to write down the name, but certain species of whales that they have, they believe, because humans can't go down this deep, but whales can dive 2 miles below the surface of the ocean. If we tried to do that, we'd get down just a few hundred feet and the pressure would kill us. God created animals with amazing bodies. Humans can do amazing things too, especially with our minds. Think of all that humans have been able to discover and create and develop and see into the tiniest parts of this world, as well as into the vastness of the universe and all the things that humans have been able to do. And that's extraordinary. But none of that compares. None of that compares to what happened when God breathed into Adam's nostrils. Which, by the way, was not God performing CPR on Adam. God made the man live with, it says, the breath of life. God breathed into him the breath of life. And that was not just oxygen filling his lungs, but that was God's divine life, the spark of life from God Himself breathing into Adam and filling him with a spiritual life that is unique to human beings. God gave us that spiritual life with His own breath. He gave life to our souls. And so your physical body, as wonderful as it is, and yet we all know as frail as it is just a temporal shell. It's not meant to last forever. From dust you came, from dust you will return, and that is true about your body. And inside your body lives your soul. And what's unique and important about the soul is that it is created by God to be immortal, to live forever. Your soul does not die when your body dies. The life of the soul is not dependent upon oxygen or blood or food or water that your body needs. No, your soul will live on because your soul is that spark of spiritual life breathed into us by God Himself. A little bit of an aside here, but I think it's an important one. Our culture suffers today, I think, from an epidemic of low self-esteem. This may be particularly true among young people, but I think all of us can fall into this. You're not thin enough. You're too tall. You're too short. Your skin isn't smooth enough. You're too pale. You're too dark. Your teeth are not white enough. Your hair is not the right color. We hear these images on TV, the internet, wherever you turn. This is how people sell products, by telling us these lies. Celebrities online, whoever it is, and we fall for it, right? Particularly young people, I think, take these lies, and they are lies, they're not truths. They take these lies to heart. And it's the reason that so many people suffer from this epidemic of low self-esteem. I'll never look good enough. I'll never feel good enough. I'll never be good enough. And it often leads, right, to eating disorders, to self-harming behaviors, to drug use, even legal drug use, whatever it is. Trying to make ourselves, which of course is not the right word at all, trying to make our bodies better. And people fall for this. We all do to some degree. And so in response, we need to hear this biblical truth that God created you special. He created you in a way, the Bible says, that you are crowned with glory. You are the pinnacle of creation. God made you in such a special way that this entire world is less important and less special than who you are. And you are special because God breathed His life into you. What makes you special is not your hair, it's not your teeth, it's not the shape of your body. No, it's that God breathed His life into you. He gave you a soul. He created you so that you could know Him. And your soul is so valuable to God, whether you realize it or not, whether your family members or neighbors or friends or those who don't know who Jesus is, whether they realize it or not, your soul is so valuable to God that He sent His own Son to die for your soul. And when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't die so that you could be more beautiful. He didn't die so you could be smarter. He didn't die so you could be stronger. No, He died to save your soul. He died so that you could live with God forever. And the amazing good news of Scripture is that God created you in His image. And He breathed life into you. He gave you a soul so that you could know Him and so that you could live with Him forever. And so with those truths in front of us, I want to give you a little exercise. And it's nothing new, I think, for you, but maybe it's a reminder of a way to exercise your soul, a way to help you use your soul a little bit better so that you can hear God's voice a little more clearly. And the exercise is this. It just takes a few minutes. Do it on your own someday this week. Sit down with your Bible in a quiet place and choose maybe a psalm, maybe a passage from a gospel, one of Paul's letters, whatever it is. Maybe even your favorite passage in the Bible. Choose a passage, just a few verses. And then before you read it, pray this simple prayer. Lord, help me to hear Your voice. Speak into my soul through Your Word. In other words, invite God to speak from the words of Scripture, not just into your mind. And I think that's the mistake we often make as we read the Bible. Did you know that unbelievers, people who don't know Jesus, who don't know who God is, they can read the Bible too, right? It's in every library probably in the world. Anybody can open up the Bible and read it with their mind. But we read Scripture with faith, which means we read not only with our minds, we also need to invite God to speak from His Word into our souls. And so pray simply, Lord, help me to hear Your voice. Speak into my soul through your word. And then read the passage and listen to what God's saying to you. And then if you need to, pray again, Lord, help me to hear your voice and read the passage again. And repeat that as often as you need to until you know that God has spoken to you what he wants you to hear in his way in that moment. And it might be that God gives you a sense of assurance or comfort or peace. It might be that you discover as you read that familiar passage again, you might discover something new that you've never noticed before about God. It might be that God, as you read and pray, that he answers something that you've been asking for a long time and finally it becomes clear. It might be that God calls you in a new direction, gives you a new purpose for that day or maybe even for your life that maybe you haven't been hearing because you haven't been listening with your soul. But God wants to speak to us in that way. God wants to allow his word to come deeply inside of us. Learn to listen with your soul to God's voice in his word. God created us so that we could know him, so that we could love him and live with him forever. He created you in his image. He breathed his life into you so that you could have a close and loving relationship with him. And so as we discover this great gift, as we rediscover the gift of having a soul, I think we can begin experiencing in new and fresh and wonderful ways who God is and what he wants to say into our lives. So we give thanks for that. And let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll pray together. Lord, we do give you thanks for your word, for this reminder that you created us and you made us special, that you created us so that we could know you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to open up our hearts, open up our souls to you. Teach us, Lord, to listen to your voice and to be transformed and to find in your word and to find in you the truth and the love that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your creation. We thank you for your love that is real and present with us now and that will be with us forever and ever. Lord, we praise you for your goodness, and I pray that you'd help us to walk in your ways and to open up our hearts and our souls to you, now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.